The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Friday edition. You made it to the weekend. A Snowmageddon edition, not as bad as the weatherman had me thinking it might be. A couple inches in the driveway this morning, mostly melting by the time I got out there. I didn't even clean it off. Until about 9 o'clock. Some of the neighbors didn't even bother. How about you? Did you get snow? Was it a big deal? We got some big deal breaking news in the state of Wisconsin. I'm going to tell you about it in a minute. But before I do, we got a contest. Civic Media's Right in the Spring Text to Win contest. And again, I want to remind the fine folks listening, you got to use the Civic Media app. Don't use the phone number. Use the app. And the app you can get at the iOS store or at the Android store, wherever the non-monopoly people that, you know, have the non-Apple phones, wherever you get your apps, go there and get the Civic Media app. Doesn't cost you anything, but it does have a super cool text feature. And right now the Devil's Advocates is on WMDX, and you can use that text feature to text in the word to win. And what are the prizes? Daily winners for each hour that we do this, and we do this each day at 3 o'clock, at least for a couple of weeks. Overnight getaway to the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Water parks, take the kids. All entrants, daily winners included, are entered to win one of the two grand prizes that include brand new bicycles, a 3-in-1 blender, and an outdoor patio love seat. And perhaps I'll throw in my snow shovel. Didn't work so well today. So here's your word to win. Lawn. L-A-W-N. I'll use it in the sentence. I can't see my damn lawn for all the snow we had overnight. Lawn, L-A-W-N. Use the shiny Civic Media app. Text it in to qualify to win. Spring, it's here, so I hear. But let me tell you about the big show, and let me tell you about the big news. First of all, we're going to talk about some real estate news. Lots of breaking real estate news. Article at the Journal Sentinel today talks about the heady increases in residential real estate values, not just in the state of Wisconsin, but also especially here in Dayton County. And the National Association of Realtors has made a settlement. The commission structure of the real estate industry is changing. What's that mean to you? I have no idea. I'm going to invite my friend, a sponsor partner, Darcy Haber, broker at Solidarity Realty. She's going to join me at 3:30. We're going to go over some of the changing real estate market things and also try to understand what this new commission structure may mean to you as a consumer. You're going to save money? Maybe. I don't know. Hope Darcy does. She'll be here at 3:30. You can always be a part of the show as well. 844-967-2789. But unbelievable news out of the state of Wisconsin. I'm sorry to bury the lead behind all this, you know, show work. But Mike Gallagher, he's outie next month. Rep Mike Gallagher to leave Congress in April, exiting before the end of his term. Molly Beck, this the late breaking news. U.S. Rep Mike Gallagher will leave Congress next month instead of serving the remainder of his term. the four-term congressman, said today. Gallagher announced in February he would not seek re-election in the fall in the 8th Congressional District, citing a desire to enter the private sector and spend more time with family. On Friday, Gallagher said he's moving up his departure to April 19th. April 19th. Now, if I was going to quit my job in the Congress, you know, maybe just for irony's sake, I'd do it on 420. But Gallagher didn't explain why. He didn't tell us why he's out. The Green Bay Republican is one of nearly four dozen House members leaving this year. And by leaving midterm, House Speaker Mike Johnson now has a one-member majority. And may I point out, after the passage of, I think they're calling it the minibus, the Keep the Government Open efforts, the latest in this ongoing cliffhangers that we do as a country now, well, apparently that's offended the Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world. And I saw her earlier today on the Foxy News promising to try and vacate the speakership. Same thing they did to Kevin McCarthy. A no-confidence vote on Speaker Mike Johnson. And by next month, Gallagher's out the door. And they'll only have a one-seat majority as a Republican Party. Can you imagine the brouhaha that is brewing? I mean, A, they don't know how to govern. But B, if they've only got one more vote than the Democrats in their caucus, I don't know if we'll ever have another Speaker of the House. Anyways, on Friday, Gallagher says he's moving up his departure to April 19th, but didn't explain why. The Green Bay Republican is, as mentioned, I know I'm being redundant here, one of nearly four dozen House members leaving this year. And by leaving midterm, House Speaker Mike Johnson now has a one-member Republican majority. Here's what he said. Gallagher, on his way out, is not out yet. I've worked closely with the House Republican leadership on this timeline and look forward to seeing Speaker Johnson appoint a new chair to carry on the important mission of the Select Committee on Chinese Communist Party. You know, this is the one. He's the one that led the ban against TikTok that passed the House overwhelmingly. That was his big accomplishment. That was Mike Gallagher's legacy, the TikTok ban. Anyways, more from Gallagher. My office will continue to operate and provide constituent services to the 8th District for the remainder of the term. Apparently, he's not going to put in the work, though. Just the staffers. Gallagher said his time in the U.S. House has been an honor of a lifetime and a strength in my conviction that America is the greatest country in the history of the world. You know, they always say stuff like that. Gallagher, 39, was first elected to the House's 8th Congressional District in 16 and quickly made foreign policy and attempts at congressional reform his focus. The Marine veteran and intelligence officer has argued for term limits. I guess he term limited himself. And the Green Bay Republican in 8 years in Congress established himself as one of Capitol Hill's top national security and foreign policy hawks. Gallagher's departure leaves open his safely Republican northeastern Wisconsin seat. Republicans have about a 16-point edge in the largely rural 8th district, and Gallagher has won each re-election handily by no fewer than 25 points. Now, Molly Beck, I'm going to point out, there was no opposition on the ballot in the 8th Congressional. There was no Dem running against him, at least not the last time around. So, you know, to win handily against none of the above? Yeah, that's not the accomplishment it might sound. That's my only point. His seat will still likely be filled this fall. State law requires a special election to be held to fill a vacancy in the Wisconsin congressional offices if the vacancy occurs before the second Tuesday in April in the year of a general election, which is April 9th. Because Gallagher is resigning after that date, the vacancy may be filled in August and November's primary and general elections. So, it is on the ballot, but not until the fall. No special required because this resignation, and again, he said he coordinated this. He meant to do it this way. This will be a turnout mechanism
For what, Donald Trump? This newly inspired race? Anyways, let's talk about the Republicans. State Senator Andre Jacques. I am praying, just for the sake of democracy, that Jacques is the candidate, because I think anyone, any good Democratic candidate, should be able to beat Andre Jacques. And I know it's a stacked Republican district, but he is the worst sort of candidate. Anyways, former Senate President and Lieutenant Gubernatorial candidate Roger Roth, both Republicans, are running to replace Gallagher. And that's it. That's the article. So Gallagher's out on Friday, April 19th. Now, of course, April 20th, that'd be cooler. But, you know, he's not going to do the 420 thing. A little too square. It's also a Saturday, you know, I suppose. You quit on Friday. You hand in the keys. You hope to get your security deposit back. And you leave the staffers to run the shop for what? May, June, July, August, September, October? That's 6 months. He's getting out 6 months early. Now, I bet we find that Gallagher is cashing out, getting a high-paid job somewhere. Just a gut instinct. I think the young man's going to get paid well at his next job, but it's not going to be in the U.S. Congress, and that means there's going to be a vacancy. Now, we've heard different names bantered, but the one that comes most often to mind, Dr. Kristen Lierley. You've heard her here on this show. Dr. Lierley, and I would encourage her to run, is a OBGYN. And an issue, obviously, since the overturning of Dobbs, has been women's reproductive health. And I think it is a issue, and this is a race that perhaps deserves a strong female candidate. And a female OBGYN, this very smart doctor lady, Kristen Lierley, if she's not the one, damn, I hope the Democrats have somebody good. But I think she would make an excellent candidate for the Democratic Party. I'd put her up against Andre Jacques 7 days a week, twice on Sunday. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Breaking news, Mike Gallagher, he's out. Bye, Felicia. Come on back with us, though. We're not done. It's a Friday. We're going to talk some politics, talk some real estate, and talk to you. 844-967-2789. Don't forget, the ride into spring. Civic Media text to win contest name or word. Lawn, L-A-W-N, like I can't see my damn lawn for all the snow.
Big and tall of political talk, the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Dominic coming along soon at 4 o'clock. I got my friend, broker at Solidarity Realty, Darcy Haber, joining me in studio at 3:30. We're going to talk some real estate, local market, and the new national settlement the realtors have made. How does that affect you? Well, we'll find out. In the meantime, I've got a story for you folks. This one, Friday, we air the grievances. This one's already getting on my nerves. I saw this from the Associated Press, and I'm going to make a side note before we jump in. Gannett Papers has ended their partnership with the Associated Press. And the last time I checked, the Associated Press was considered the most down-the-center real news source that you could possibly get. You know, didn't show any sort of real partisan bias, just the facts, if you will. And it's a little troubling to me that the paper of record, quote-unquote, in the state of Wisconsin, the Journal Sentinel, which is a Gannett paper, and also the Green Bay Press Gazette, I believe the paper La Crosse, the Tribune, all those papers are done reporting from the Associated Press, one of the top news organizations in the nation. This is not good for journalism. I'm not clear why. I don't have an inside scoop. I'm sorry. I just want to bring it to your attention. They're no longer business partners, Gannett and the Associated Press. I found this story at the U.S. News and World Report. They apparently still partner with the Associated Press. Prosecutors in three Wisconsin counties declined to pursue charges against the Trump committee and a lawmaker, and the lawmaker is Janelle Branchon. We're talking about the alleged felonious campaign violations in the pursuit of the recall of Robin Voss. So the Associated Press is reporting today, prosecutors in three Wisconsin counties declined to pursue felony charges of campaign finance violations against former President Donald Trump's fundraising committee and a Republican state lawmaker related to an effort to unseat Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Now, the prosecutor cited conflicts of interest in some cases because they are too actively involved in their local Republican parties. What a good look. Well, I can't possibly prosecute this sort of criming because I'm part of the organization that's alleged to have done the criming. You know, the local Republican parties were the conduit of these grandiose, oversized, money laundering type donations. So anyways, let me read on from the Associated Press. The Wisconsin Ethics Commission, which recommended last month that charges be filed, announced the local prosecutor's decision in a memo prepared for a Friday meeting. Charges were also forwarded to the district attorneys in three additional counties, but they have yet to inform the commission of their plans. And the Ethics Commission was meeting Friday to vote on referring the charges to counties adjacent to the three that declined to prosecute. Ultimately, the state attorney general, Democrat Josh Call, could be asked to prosecute the cases. Yeah, let's just get to the asking of Josh Call already. I mean, if these local prosecutors, if they won't do the investigation, if they won't do their jobs, and they're saying basically because we're partisans, we're Republicans, let me read on. Now, the Ethics Commission alleges that Trump's fundraising committee and state rep Janelle Branchon, a Trump ally, conspired in a scheme to evade campaign finance laws to support the Republican primary challenger to Voss in 2022. The aforementioned, I don't think we've said his name today, but Adam Steen, you recall? And Voss had angered Trump by firing a former state Supreme Court justice, you know, the corrupted Michael Gableman, Voss had hired to investigate Trump's discredited allegations of fraud in the 2020 presidential election. Voss launched the probe under pressure from Trump, but eventually distanced himself from Trump's effort to overturn President Biden's win in Wisconsin. Yeah, eventually, Trump and Branchon then tried to unseat Voss by backing a GOP primary opponent, Adam Steen. Trump called Steen a motivated patriot when endorsing him shortly before the 2022 primary. Did that in person. Came to Waukesha County. I think that's the last time Trump came to Wisconsin to go and take a position against the sitting Republican Assembly Speaker, Robin Voss. And how'd that one turn out? Voss, the longest serving Assembly Speaker in Wisconsin history, defeated Steen by just 260 votes. And Steen is currently backing an effort to recall Voss from office. Now, I've seen that effort described as, well, Voss said they're a bunch of morons, fraudsters, and criminals. Mostly accurate, I would say, his descriptor of the group trying to, recall his ass. Now, the Ethics Commission alleges that Trump's Save America Political Action Committee, Branchon, and Republican Party officials in three counties and the Steen campaign conspired to avoid state fundraising limits as they steered at least $40,000 in the effort to defeat Voss. There's more, folks. The commission alleges that those involved took advantage of Wisconsin laws that allow for unlimited donations to political parties, but then illegally steered the money to Steen. State law caps individual donations to assembly candidates at $1,000. And the Ethics Commission recommended that charges be brought against the Trump Fundraising Committee, Branchon, Steen's campaign, eight other individuals, and three county Republican parties. So what about these prosecutors? Why won't they do their job? Well, let me read you the explanation, according to Scott Bauer at the Associated Press. prosecutors in Chippewa, Florence, and Landglade counties declined to prosecute. The allegations were also referred to district attorneys in Racine, St. Croix, and Waukesha counties. Now we got radio stations in each of those outlets. Chippewa County District Attorney Wade Newell said he would not pursue the charges because he's a member of the county Republican Party, which could be charged. In other words, he's part of the group that did the alleged criming. Florence County District Attorney Doug Drexler said in a letter to the commission that he had a conflict of interest because he's also a member of his county's Republican Party for more than 30 years, and he performed legal services for members of that party. Did that include telling them, giving them some legal advice on the money laundering scheme that was happening right under your nose, sir? Landglade County District Attorney Kelly Hayes on Friday provided a letter she sent to the Ethics Commission indicating that she had a conflict of interest, but the letter did not say what the conflict was, and she did not respond to follow-up questions. They're all conflicted. They're all so partisan they can't do their jobs. They can't investigate a crime if it's someone in their own party. Well, you know, unless perhaps they were part of the criminal conspiracy. I mean, that's a strange admission. That's a strange conflict to have. You'd think they'd want to keep the investigation in-house. You know what I mean? But the facts are the facts. And if the facts say there was some crime going on, there should be prosecutions. Let's get on with the asking of the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin. It's time for Josh Call to get off the schneid on the fake electors, and certainly on this case where the Wisconsin Ethics Commission is saying they are felons. It is a criminal conspiracy. Go prosecute it. Folks, devil's advocates, the Friday edition. Love it when a friend comes by. Darcy Haber, broker at Solidarity Realty, going to give us some real estate advice. She's a sponsor partner and my good friend.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. I've been joined by a friend of mine, the original gangster, Darcy Haber. She is the broker at Solidarity Realty. They are sponsor partners with the Devil's Advocates, but you've been my friend for a long time. You've been advertising with us for a long time. Darcy, thanks for coming in today.
Happy to be here.
You know, we've got some real estate issues in the news right now. Let's start with this national settlement. Darcy, you damn realtors making too much money. What was this settlement regarding?
Well, it's that's a very broad question. Okay. So there is an allegation that, I mean, the way it's being simplified is saying that there's an allegation that real estate agents have conspired to keep the listing price of a listing 6% over all this time. The first thing I learned when I got into real estate was that 6% is not the normal price, that you cannot ever say that to anyone. So I actually followed the rules and I've never said that. I sometimes charge 6%.
Because to do that and to have every brokerage in the industry telling everyone it's the same price would be construed as price fixing. That would be
right.
The problem, and that's why this settlement even came to fruition.
But I feel like it's like, you know, this, you know, now the AG is going after Apple for having a monopoly.
Yes.
Does it mean that you, if you have an Apple phone, you're guilty of it? No. Like, that's how I feel about being included in this settlement. Like, I've never price fixed. I often charge 5.5%, 5%, depending on how hard it is a listing. And there's a whole different level of, you know, work you need to do depending on where the house is at. So I just feel like there must have been some evidence of price fixing. I don't know where it came from. But it must be among the fat cats, like, you know, the First Webbers or the Starks. There must be evidence, otherwise.
Institutional price fixing.
Well, I do know. I spoke to an agent this morning at a closing that works for one of the big guys. And I said, aren't you allowed to discount, you know, if you want to? And he said, well, yeah, as long as I pay back the realty as though I had charged the full price. So it comes out of his paycheck. So that could be construed, I suppose. if the realty says, I want all the agents to charge 6%, and if you charge any less, you're going to owe us the difference.
Out of your commission, presumably.
Yeah, out of your commission.
So that's a double hit, effectively.
Yep, exactly.
Because you've taken a smaller number to create the commission percentage, and then you've repaid the broker, question mark, which that seems a little sketch to
and
me.
I did not know that until this morning, honestly. I've just been looking into it now because I'm like, who's price fixing? I didn't know it was 6% for sure.
So we talk about Darcy Haber, my friend. She is the broker at Solidarity Realty, and you've been doing this a number of years. You've been with the Devil's Advocates for a number of years.
15 years I've been
around. For a 29-year-old, you've been very aggressive in our partnership. But Darcy, traditionally, and I used to hold my real estate brokerage license, and I owned a brokerage, although I wasn't ever really your competition. I didn't really do what you did. But that was the tradition. And effectively, the seller paid 6%, and the broker that represented the seller got 3%, and the broker that represented the buyer got paid from the seller, effectively. They got their 3%. So the broker who represents the buyer in this relationship, well, suddenly there's going to be some unwilling sellers, I suspect, that I hear I don't have to pay the full 6%. Now, Darcy, I'm considering, as you well know, because you will be my real estate broker soon, but I'm considering selling a home. Mm-hmm. And if I don't use the traditional method, I got to say, while I realize real estate agents have a fiduciary to their client, if it's a good house and you should show it to your client because it fits their needs, you must legally. But we also know human nature. And if that's some discounted listing and they get a 1% commission or the house down the street pays 3%, well, you know, human nature at some point is going to work on them. If it's three times as much money, if they just show you the one down the street, they're going to show you that one first and hope you fall in love with that one before they even have to show you the next one, right?
Well, these days, buyers are on Zillow all the time, so they see all the listings come up. They ask us what they want to see. And a lot of times, even though we're sending them the listings, they're still double-checking with Zillow. So I don't think it's really possible for agents to steer people. I mean, I suppose if, you know, maybe an elderly person that doesn't go on the internet, but I don't know a buyer that isn't constantly looking at listings on their phone. And they're not, you know, if they say, well, what about this one? I'm not going to be like, that's, you know.
That's the cheap listing. I'm not showing you that one.
You know, yeah, I mean, you show them everything. And sometimes the offer of compensation is less. Sometimes it's 2.5%. And, you know, we just take that, you know, instead. I guess sometimes it's 2% even. So it has been changed. But the one time when I got negotiated in my neighborhood, if I can walk to a listing, I used to charge 5% instead of 6%. But I tried splitting that and getting 2.5, and then
maybe you need your steps. I'm out in Middleton. Get to walking, girl.
And because I really like to walk, but so I offered 2.5% to the buyer's agent, and took 2.5%, and my listing sat for the first time ever. I mean, I normally sell like in 4 days, over the weekend done, and this was a prime property on Rutledge Street near East Side. It sat, and I learned my lesson.
And you think that was because the client and because of your listing plan, they came up with a plan that was disadvantageous to a prospective buyer's agent because they'd get a smaller commission. So they looked past your home, or at least they didn't feature your home, and it sat a little bit longer than it should have.
Yep.
So you think that would be bad advice to discount the buyer's agency despite what might be the sentiment and the inclination, which is, you know, I want to save as much money as I possibly can, but the home prices aren't going to be any cheaper. You and I talked about this before we came on the air together.
Yeah.
I, as the seller, think my home, let's say it's worth $500,000. I think my home's worth that. Well, just because we've come up with some schematic that only pays 4% instead of 6% doesn't suddenly make my house worth any more or less. But it's potentially going to affect those real estate professionals, quote unquote. And I know you're one, but not everyone is.
That's
I've met
true.
A few.
True.
You think they'll be dissuaded from showing those cheaper houses?
I think it'll I don't know what's going to happen, frankly. It's going to be, the question is, will we even have buyers that are going to sign a contract with us? We now have to have a contract signed before we even open a door to a house.
Yeah.
Now, how is a brand new buyer, especially a first-time home buyer that just saved up 10% for their down payment, how are they going to find another 3% to pay me? Are they going to sign a contract?
Well, that's only 15 grand on my $500,000 hypothetical house.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, and they don't have it. So what's going to happen is, I think, unless, you know, and this settlement has not been approved by the AG's office yet. It's not final. They're saying it is, but I think that they mean is that NAR agreed amongst all the states that they agreed to that, but not the AG. And the AG has to hear this message. This is terrible for buyers. This is going to mean that buyers are going to skip getting represented. They're going to go right to the listing agent, something I've been talking about
for years. Don't call the sign of the yard.
And we can represent you with no money out of your pocket, right?
Yes.
So, you know, that there goes that commercial. We're going to have to redo that one. But so, I mean, unless we do something, but I think in the end, it'll be a lot more time and effort, but we're going to have to still have it rolled into the price of the house and still financed. Otherwise, we won't have buyers using agents at all, and they will get screwed, and they will get lemons for houses and wonder, you know, what the heck just happened to them.
Folks, you're listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. I've got broker Darcy Haber from Solidarity Realty. She's my friend. She's a sponsor and a partner. And literally, you were my partner in the prior endeavors at Devil Radio.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. You'll never be forgotten in that regard. But let's talk about the local real estate market. House prices in the state of Wisconsin have never been higher. The average house price, according to some journalism I saw today at WKOW, $285,000. And here in Dane County, we're at over $400,000 as the average house price. And then you move into Madison or Middleton, it gets outrageous.
Yeah.
It gets very hard for people. And it's still a seller's market, is it not, Darcy?
It is a seller's market.
What's that mean for those that are uninformed or don't speak the vernacular?
It means we don't have enough houses on the market relative to how many buyers there are. And so there's just a shortage of inventory. That means that a seller's always going to get multiple offers. Not always, but if it's a decent house in decent condition, they're going to get multiple offers for their property. This is also another reason why it's such bad timing to screw buyers' agents right now, because they're the ones doing all the hard work. We're writing 10 or 15 offers for buyers before they can get into a house, because there's 10, 20 offers on every home.
Because it's so competitive from the buyer's point of view, you need a good agent helping to craft that offer, et cetera, et cetera. And if you don't get that sort of service on the front end, you're never going to have a back end with the house.
Yeah. People will probably go to buyer's agents eventually if they have the money to do it, because they see that that's who's getting the house. Because we know all the different tricks that you can do, the different ways of writing an offer that make it more compelling. We know what the competition is doing, so we know how to compete with them. But even so, even when we write our best offer, sometimes it's the buyer themselves. They can't write a better offer. So if they are a cash poor buyer, meaning they, you know, maybe only have 5% down and they don't have any money for what we call inspection forgiveness, appraisal forgiveness, that's jargon. But basically, those folks, no matter how good an offer we write, they can only afford so much.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that we're working, you know, 10, 15 offers for. It. Now you're saying we're not going to be guaranteed payment at the end of it at all? Well, I don't know agents that can afford to spend that kind of time not knowing if they're going to get paid.
No, absolutely, because you're effectively working. There's no hourly wage in the real estate industry,
no.
Not for the average realtor, as they like to call themselves, right?
Yep.
Or the real estate broker, quite frankly. You know, the office costs money. Everything costs money. The administrative staff costs money. And you only make money with a successful real estate closing. And so, you know, for those people that have only worked for a paycheck in life, that's a hard thing. I guarantee, if you've been in the industry long enough, you've had months with no closings, at least personally, maybe in the brokerage, but not you.
No, absolutely. I mean, it goes in cycles.
That's a tough feeling, isn't it?
Yeah. And people look at it and they say, oh, they just got $15,000 from one sale. All they did was open the door. No, actually, we've put in sometimes so many hours that when I look at it, when housing prices were lower, I wasn't making minimum wage at it, because it was just so time intensive. because I protect my buyers, because I go with them to the inspection and hold their hand and make sure we get tradespeople in to put estimates together so that we can negotiate a better deal. Now, it's hard to do that these days in a seller's market, but when, you know, when we, I mean, but even so, like my colleague Susan was just telling me about two different inspections she's had that have come up with real problems that were hidden. And their clients are, the sellers are refusing to negotiate, but the buyers at least have the opportunity to back out, which they're probably going to do because the sellers are all like, it's a seller's market. We're not doing anything, but hey, a new deck is $20,000,
yeah.
You know? So if it's not built to code and it's going to collapse, what are you going to do?
Now, Darcy Haber, the advice you gave me on the phone in regards to my own personal residence, as I mentioned, I anticipate you'll soon be my broker. You said, get it ready, do it right. Make it as turnkey as possible for the next family, because a lot of these people currently as buyers in the marketplace, they're not handymen.
Exactly. And
okay, got about a minute left
okay.
here.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a misnomer because we say it's a seller's market. So people are like, well, why can't I just put it for sale? The nature of the buyer right now, and I don't want to put down and say millennials this or that. The truth is, if you grew up with a phone in front of your face, you missed out on a whole part of, you know, part of the job that's, you know, learning to turn a screwdriver and things like that. People just aren't, they just aren't knowledgeable. They don't understand even how flooring is done, basic, that kind of thing.
Well, I didn't grow up with the phone in my face, but I still missed a lot of those handyman life lessons. That's why I need a good broker and a good realtor, and you're both of those things. I feel confident in saying that.
Thank you.
She is Darcy Haber. She is the broker at Solidarity Realty. There is an alternative. They're the alternative you should consider. Our sponsor partners here at Devil Radio. Thank you, Darcy. Thanks for coming around.
Thanks for having me.
Don't be a stranger.
I won't.
Happy spring break.
You too.
More Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Friday edition. Dom joins very, very soon. I want to thank our most recent guest. Appreciate when Darcy Haber, my friend, my sponsor partner from Solidarity Realty, she's the broker there, and she is the realtor I'm going to entrust to sell the Crudy household. And, you know, I raised a few boys there, and they've been rough. So we got to get the house ready. You know, we've done some remodeling through the years, but, you know, redo the floors, fresh coat of paint, maybe fix or repaint the trim. My wife thinks new trim. And Darcy agrees with my wife, so I'm expecting we'll probably do some new trim. And we'll get the house shiny and new and hopefully have a quick sale. And, you know, time to downsize. We're empty nesters very, very soon, my wife and I. And I got to tell you, my wife's looking forward to it more than I. I kind of like to have the boys around, you know, someone to watch the football games with and the basketball games and soon baseball and the other sporting events. You need comrades and viewership. And tonight, don't forget the Badgers tipping off at 8:40. It's going to be a big game. They're playing James Madison, 31-win team. They're the 12 seed with 31 wins. The Badgers, the 5 seed. And that game tips off at 8:40 tonight. And that game tips off across the Civic Media Network. We get to play it out on 4 of our respective stations. So you can listen to the game tonight. But unfortunately, with the NCAA, no streaming permitted. So you can't take it on the shiny Civic Media app tonight, but I always encourage the people to listen on WRJN, that's 1400 AM, in the Milwaukee Metro, especially the Southern Metro, 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM, all the way down in the State Line area, you know, down in the Robin Voss District, the Bryant Style District, you know, sort of Southern Milwaukee. That's the one I'd listen to. Up in Wisconsin Rapids, I'd be listening on WFHR and, you know, Richland Center, WRCE. What else do we got? There's one more. WLAK, 1260 AM up there in Amory, Wisconsin, Lake Eyre. So there's your Badger affiliates. Please consider listening to the Badgers glorious victory. I'm predicting a big victory tonight. I got Rich wearing his Badger colors. I'm wearing the hat. I hope you're wearing the red as well. Baby got the day off work. How many of you guys got the day off work? My kids got the day off school today. My youngest, still in high school, senior, got a second day, I believe, this week off Middleton High School. They called because of snow. I woke up this morning. I'm not hearing the normal scurrying in the house. Kid usually gets in the shower, uses up all the hot water before dad needs to get in there because, you know, I'm a radio guy. So you don't even know if I showered today. So, you know, I let him go first. And there was no scurrying going on. There was no urgency. There was no steam or dripping towels in the hallway. You know, nothing to indicate the kid had gotten up and gone to school this morning. And so he finally comes walking through. I'd gotten up doing a little show prep, reading my papers this morning. Hey, Karsten, how you doing? Oh, good, Dad. No school. No school? Yeah, no school today, Dad. We got off school because it's a snow day. Now, I got to tell you, I might have mentioned this earlier today. It might be Snowmageddon where you're at, but in Middleton, we had maybe 2-3 inches. I mean, it wasn't... I didn't even have to spend more than 15 minutes shoveling, air quotes, shoveling the driveway, the street out front, and the... We've got the handicap walk, so I've got to do the extra thing. I always do it well because, you know, I feel like people judge you if you don't do that handicap entry point to the street. You know, I got to be a good neighbor. We're Middleton. We're the good neighbor city. But less than 15 minutes, and I was done cleaning off the car and everything. I'm like, where's all the snow? No wonder why Gary Connulty's in retirement. Forecasts like that got people thinking they'd be off school. Well, my kids were. My kid was, for no good reason. And so he's goofing around. We went to lunch together. He enjoyed that. Maybe. Enjoyed the fact that Dad paid for it. Probably. That's the way we play it in this house. You know, Dad's got the so-called job, the high-paying radio job, question mark. And therefore, you know, the kids think Dad's made out of money, should feed them, all that kind of stuff. You know, I don't think I should have to feed the kids. I think they should fend for themselves, toughen them up. One last time for this hour, because it's your last opportunity to qualify this week for the Civic Media Ride in the Spring Text to Win contest. And again, the prizes, one awarded each of the contest hours each day. An overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. In all entrants, including the daily winners of the Chula Vista trips, are entered to win one of the two grand prizes, including brand new bikes, a 3-in-1 blender, and an outdoor patio love seat. Who wouldn't want that cavalcade of prizes if the price is right? And the price is right for you. All you got to do is use the Civic Media app and text in the word to win. And the word to win this hour, and I'm giving it to you one last time, just in case you missed. It's lawn, L-A-W-N. Like you damn kids, get off my lawn. Lawn. I encourage you to text in if you want to be entered to win the prizes. Don't forget, use the Shiny Civic Media app. Now, Dom's coming up soon. And I got to tell you, some of you are going to be displeased. Friday is for the grievances. It will be time to air them soon at 844-967-2789. Some stunning news across the wire this morning. It's a little surprised to hear it. In the midst of all his legal travails, it looks like Donald Trump has been handed a lifeline. A Hail Mary pass, if you will, of the financial sort. Donald Trump is in line to benefit up to $3 billion because his Trump media empire, his Truthy Social, has apparently merged with a SPAC, which is like a way to take stock public without actually doing the normal stuff. So apparently DJT, you know, Donald J. Trump, that's what they're calling this newly created stock. DJT is already off 12%. Now it ended the day. It did have a bounce back, only off like 3.5% in the day. But Donald Trump's corporation is valued somewhere north of $5 billion. And I saw total revenues on this $5 billion corporation last year, $3.4 million. total expenses, $49 million, for a loss of somewhere north of $45 million, which would equal a valuation of over $5 billion the day it hits the market. Now, I suspect this stock price might sag a little. You know, the underlying foundationals, the financials, the fundamentals. They say penny stock. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Dom joins next. You can join as well. 844-96-PARTY.